And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
In this town all up after
Jake and Ben, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you very much for making us a part of your Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday. Is it Wednesday?
Who knows? Worked Sunday, worked Friday, probably did something Saturday.
Is it Wednesday, Sarah? Yes, okay.
It is good. Wednesday.
All right, I got it right. Thursday, Friday, back-to-back, and then Sunday. That's how I keep track of my calendar during jazz season.
Yep.
Sunday. What games do we have this week?
Yep.
The season is rapidly coming to a close. We'll talk some jazz coming up here. You doing well, Ben? Having a good morning?
Incredibly well.
Wow.
Got to watch Talen Horton-Tucker last night. Cook for 24 points.
Before we dive into that, and I'm glad we're doing this on a Wednesday. As a station, we're launching this feature as a part of our app, but this is kind of our official launch of it on the show. And I'm so excited that we have this capability because it's called the call-in feature on our app. So you can download the app, and then Sarah, you just open it up and click call-in? Is that simple?
So it records a message, kind of like if you have an iPhone, like an audio message. Yep. It records a 60-second message you can send into the show, and then I can play it on air.
This is a great way, I think, to interact. We had something similar a few years ago. And, Ben, not to get into the too far into the radio weeds, mm-hmm. but I've always thought one of the great parts of radio is interaction. Now, it used to be, phone calls. And let's line up the phones. Let's get out of the phones. Bob from Clearfield. Society kind of evolved past phone calls. And, phone calls weren't always the best radio. So, radio kind of evolves and we went to texts. And, there was a theory that social media would be a good way to interact with listeners. And I never really bought into that theory per se. And it's an okay way to interact with listeners, but I don't think is as effective as some other ways in the past. And so I like this way because we can get our listeners' voice. We can do some editing if there needs to be editing. We can place it into the show. Like I feel like it can be really effective. And especially on a day like Wednesday, where we've got What You Got Wednesday coming up at 11:30, which it always seems to anger the majority of our listeners. And they can weigh in and they can participate and we can really use our listeners to be a part of the show, which I'm very excited about.
Love to hear it. I'm excited to hear it. It's not a feature I've ever used before. So and I know it's new for the app. So download the KSL Sports app and give it a shot.
Go to the call-in feature. You can record up to 60 seconds of audio. And then what do? Just hit send or enter or whatever, Sarah. And it's that simple. It'll go to right to Sarah in the control room, and we can use it if needs be, if it's a good call or whatever, if it's a bad call. I just can't wait to hear how many listeners call in every time Ben is wrong about something, which is just constant.
We don't have the bandwidth. We don't have the server space.
Gonna be
to handle those 60-second audio clips.
Gonna
every
be
time
wild.
I guess I'm wrong.
I mean, just wild. So yes, KSL Sports app, download call-in feature. Interact with the show. We're excited about it, and especially today at 11:30 when we do What You Got Wednesday. Brian Taylor will join us from the Masters at 11:50 to wrap up the show. So we're going to be very busy today. Are you going to be dialed into the par three today?
Nope.
At the Masters?
I will not.
No? Why not?
Well, I mean, if someone hits a hole-in-one, I'll see the replay on Twitter.
And then hurts themselves celebrating?
And then dislocates their ankle walking backwards. Yeah, you know, par three. I'll watch the Masters this weekend. We'll get to squeeze it in. We got a lot of basketball still. Thursday,
you know,
Friday,
what?
Sunday, like you said.
If we're going to make that joke, though, and talk about that situation with Tony Finau where he hurt himself celebrating, we have to, and Bob mentioned this yesterday, I feel like you have to finish the story by saying he played and finished top 10.
Yeah, the grossest looking ankle after he showed those pictures, and it was black and blue. And
right.
Yeah. No, unbelievable.
So, you know, we teased Tony for injuring himself celebrating.
No, that was awesome.
But we should mention that he played in the tournament and he finished top 10 after dislocating his ankle, which is incredible.
It was great. He's our best local sports product right now.
Oh, well, Britton Covey would disagree. He was on the morning show this morning.
Cool.
Local, let me think. Meaning born here?
Yeah, like local product. You can even say played college here. Like Jalen Johnson just signed a huge deal with the Chicago Bears.
I don't think Tony is quite Dame.
Okay, Dame is probably number one.
But like, but born here? I don't know, Sam Merrill is a big deal these days.
Sam Merrill's cooking. Yeah.
I feel like we're missing somebody.
No, I still think it's Tony.
Yeah, but I feel like there's an obvious candidate maybe we are ignoring. Mike Weir wasn't born here, but he actually won the Masters.
Yeah. Whoa. Taking a shot at Tony.
He did.
Wow.
It's just a fact.
Starting the day, taking a shot at local hero, Tony Finau. I guess I'm watching the par three tournament because it's on.
It is on. Scotty Scheffler. This guy, heavy favorite.
As long as he putts well. That's what I've heard. Should we talk some hockey? You want to talk basketball?
Well, let's talk basketball. You started off the show talking about hot dog.
Know.
It sounds like you have something to say.
No, I really don't. Hockey's far more interesting. The hockey news this morning is a huge deal.
All right.
The NHL is putting together two schedules. One for if the team is playing in Arizona and one if the Yotes, what I'm going to call them is the Yetis, are going to be playing in Salt Lake. Like, this is absolutely a contingency that the NHL is prepared for. We could be talking about NHL opening day in October. Not 2 years from now, not 3 years from now, not 2034 when the Olympics are here. Next season, 2024, this year, we might have a hockey team playing in Salt Lake City. It's unbelievable.
What I like about it is jump on the opportunity and we'll work out the details later. Like, The Delta Center is not a terrific place to watch hockey. It's just not. Like, there are swaths of the arena itself that you can't see, like a third of the ice. And it's just not how it was built, right? There's a reason that during the Olympics, hockey was over at Maverick Center.
Even now, with the proposed buildings for 2034 that they just announced, last week, of which facilities would be used, they still don't have Delta Center as the hockey arena. Now, that could change if it is a full-blown NHL arena by then, but they are still not planning to use it.
But don't let mere details get in the way of nabbing this thing. It's not dissimilar to what you were talking about yesterday with the Jazz waiting in the weeds for Giannis to get sick of Milwaukee. You know?
Yep.
The Coyotes situation is a mess. If you missed it yesterday, we talked to a columnist from Arizona who also does a radio show, and he went into detail just what a mess it is. So jump on it. You're like, yeah, hey, we're here. And I know you can't just go in there and push that guy out, you know, or
yeah,
you don't want to or whatever. You can't Donald Sterling that guy. So he's got to exhaust his efforts because he currently owns the team. But we're right here. Oh, you want us to do it in the fall? Yeah, whatever. We'll do it. We got some ice. You're currently playing in a college, Arizona State's parking lot. We got something that's better than that.
I have no idea how you go NBA floor one night, ice the next. I mean, I know they play over the ice. The ice is permanent, and they stack it over top. But I know that's not how teams love to do it. But
they do it. They do it in the same day, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, you think of the amount of events going through crypto. Isn't that what it's called now?
Yeah.
Two NBA teams and an NHL team then that all play in the same season?
Yeah, right. Overlapping. Why the Clippers are trying to get their own building.
So that's a challenge that's been tackled a long time ago.
But our friends from Arizona Sports, The NHL is currently drafting a 2024-2025 schedule that includes two versions. One has the Coyotes playing in Arizona. One has them playing in Salt Lake City, according to the Daily Faceoff's Frank Cervalli. And then the other important part of the Daily Faceoff article is an announcement on a sale and relocation of the Coyotes could come as soon as April 18th, the day the Coyotes' final regular season home game.
Oh, man. I bet this is a signal, I think, Ben, that the NHL is done with Morello. And the rest is honestly
and
just
that the deal
just
might be
red
as good
tape.
As done.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, it might be finished and I don't know. But that's great news. I mean, it's great news for our community. It's great news for sports. It's great news for the neighborhood in which we currently sit. And you and I both spend an incredible amount of time in this 2-block radius.
Yeah.
And it'd be awesome to see it get a facelift.
We've talked a little bit about the finances. Sources briefed on the ongoing discussions indicated Morello could receive up to $1 billion for the Coyotes. The exact figures of the proposed transaction are speculated, and all details, mechanics of the proposed deal remain fluid. There was another number thrown out there of $1.2 billion, which the $0.2 billion, $200 million, would be used as a relocation fee and distributed to the rest of the NHL. So,
you know what's interesting about Ryan? And hey, I'd love to have this problem someday, but he doesn't seem to care much about the price tag. Meaning he's not like, and I think this is smart, by the way, because I don't think sports franchises value is going down anytime soon. But with the Jazz, do you remember how they negotiated the price with Miller?
He Googled the Forbes price, right?
Yeah. And he said, all right, that's it.
Yeah, we'll just do that.
And I'm sure he had advisors who were saying like, hey, you could probably negotiate that down a little bit. And he's like, I don't care.
I bet the Millers probably had some advisors that, hey, you could probably get more for them if you wanted to do that. But they met in the middle.
Remember Steve Ballmer outbid everybody by $1 billion for the Clippers just because he didn't want the nuisance of
bidding. The chance of losing.
Of bidding.
Yeah.
And
By the way, smart investment.
No, it's all smart investment. That's why I would love to have the ability to do this, but why Ryan's smart. He's not playing hardball. There's no point. And I've come back to this a few times, Ben, but sports franchises, it's a dirty little secret amongst billionaires, is the world's best place to park your money. It is. Right now,
it's a great investment, yep.
Because you're never going to get a better return anywhere else. It never loses value. I mean, even Major League Soccer, who's expanding like crazy, where you'd think you're oversaturating things and these values of these franchises are going to go down. They have not, even in Major League Soccer, they have not gone down. Not in the last, 10 years probably?
And?
I mean, look at Larry Miller, speaking of the Millers. His original investment was?
$50 million? Was it 20 and then 25, 45, something like
that? Something like
that. Yeah, I think it was 20 for the first payment, 25 for the second.
And sold for?
$1.5 billion.
Over?
30 years.
30 years?
Yeah, you're not making that return on investment anywhere else.
Anywhere else?
No, that's a great deal.
Right.
You've done well.
So,
and worst case scenario, you can sell the team. Someone will come in and buy it and take it out of your town.
Exactly. So it doesn't make any sense, really, to nickel and dime these types of situations unless you have to, right? And so I think it's a good sign. He's just, whatever. Bill too, whatever. Let's make this happen.
Yep. It's crazy. I mean, Jake, I'm a local. You know, I grew up here. I know you spent most of your life here. I know you grew up in Charlotte for a time too, but this has always been the thing. This has always been kind of that goal that seemed unreachable. How do you get the other team here? I firmly remember that, are the Minnesota Twins going to move here? I remember Larry H. Miller saying I had the paperwork on my desk to sign and buy the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he decided to pass on it.
Twins.
It's always been, the Twins, excuse me, not the Timberwolves, the Twins. It's always been the thing. It has always been the unreachable item to bring another professional sports team to Salt Lake City. And if Ryan Smith finds a way to do it, you've got to tip your cap to him. He did something that has been talked about and lots of other people have discussed, but bring one of the major four franchises. I don't want to dismiss soccer.
Four leagues.
Rugby. Soccer, rugby, et cetera, and all the professional leagues that we have playing here right now, but one of the major four. And bringing an NHL team here to Salt Lake City would be an enormous deal and a great accomplishment.
Agreed. NHL always seemed like the most doable, though. Don't you think?
I mean, NFL was certainly the least. And I just kind of always assumed Major League Baseball because we had talked about the Twins and had heard about that for a while. But quickly, NHL took over.
Well, we're a winter sports town. You know, the Olympic connection and all that, that seemed to make a lot of sense. The fact that the Jazz and the hockey team can play in the same building is it makes it easier. And as you, I mean, you laid out this case, I guess earlier in the week, that the NHL moves a lot and they expand a lot. And they're the least stable of those four, which means that easier to get. I always thought NHL seemed more feasible. And now we'll see, you know, if and when Major League Baseball lands in Salt Lake, that'll be yet another coup. But, yeah, I think – and I actually think it's important for hockey to get a foothold here maybe before baseball because, I don't know, do you think baseball has a better chance of success?
I see zero chance of failure for baseball.
I don't think I see much chance for failure for hockey either.
I don't think so either, especially in the state of Utah, where it's going to be our next thing. It would be a little bit more iffy if it was the third franchise to come in.
Let me look up where I read this morning. I can't remember exactly where, and I want to give credit. But there's a, you know, an article out there about the hottest job markets in the country. Mm-hmm. And you and I talked about how these sports are investing in Salt Lake and in its future and in Utah, certainly, not just Salt Lake. But the number one hottest job market in the country is?
Salt Lake.
Salt Lake City.
Yep.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a pretty booming town. And I think stuff like that is why I, you know, you say per chance of failure. You know, of course, everything has a chance of failure. You've got to run it right. You got to market correctly, got to win eventually, you know, all those sorts of things that certainly make it more complicated. But the chance of failure, I think, is extraordinarily low.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I think that we, meaning our community, I don't mean to speak for everyone, but we love sports here. It's funny, you go to Pac-12 Media Day, Ben, as you've been many times, and these other markets that are bigger than Salt Lake, how much do they care? Almost none.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Seattle and Portland will kind of send some radio stations and maybe a TV station and a writer or whatever. But, I mean, nowhere near the passion of this market. And, by the way, they're not feel – you know, if Utah and BYU play home games on the same day, football, Ben, we're talking about well over 100,000 fans at both stadiums. You know, and I know there's some places in the South that sell 100,000 fans, like Tennessee or whatever, but very few, I think, situations like Oregon and Oregon State aren't putting 100,000 fans in the seats every week. That's not happening. Washington and Washington State aren't doing that. Certainly not Cal and Stanford. How much does the Bay Area care about, you know, sports? The Niners, yeah? Kind of the Warriors? The Giants?
It sounds like a knock. I live here. I'm talking about myself. There's not a whole lot else to do.
Certainly not in the wintertime unless you're, you know, big into skiing or snow caving or something like that.
You're not skiing at 7 o'clock
at night. Yeah, right.
You know, like, summer, in all honesty, it's a great positive. It's a real strength here. One of the shows is the sports teams we have. It's great.
Summer is a little different, and that is something that baseball will encounter. But baseball has the advantage of being outside, and that sort of thing is kind of the point. But we were talking about this. Jamil, Coach, and I were, you know, of course, the future of the WNBA is a hot topic, and they play at the wrong time of year. And I was thinking about the attendance numbers that we went over with the WNBA and who's drawing and who's not. And it was the top two were Vegas and Phoenix. And what do those two towns have in common in the middle of the summer?
It's too hot to be outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too hot to be outside.
It's too hot to be outside.
I want to be indoors.
Right. And I think that plays a role. Now, baseball incorporates that wonderfully because the game is slow and it's great to be outside and in person. And the romance of the beer and the hot dog and the peanuts and all that sort of thing, you know, kind of plays into the time of year. But as far as, you know, stuff to do in the wintertime, it's go to games.
Yep.
No. And just jump on board. And we love it.
No, and it's going to get that new car smell for 3-4 years? I mean, just the fact that it's going to be a novelty, much less if they become good, if they invest in the team and play well and find a way to win, we'll take it. I mean, we'll take anything, but if you can turn this into a winner, if it can benefit off of something that they weren't able to do in Arizona, which is kind of feed off of the success the Avalanche have had and feed off the success the Golden Knights have had and kind of stir that up into talent and quality and interest, we'll take it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
Yeah. And we have the funding in place to make a really nice facility, which, of course, is necessary. But yep. I like the fact they're not letting that stand in the way of getting the team
first.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll put them somewhere, you bet. We'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. We renovated a whole building around a radio station.
Yeah.
We could incorporate a hockey team.
I was thinking about this the other day. Man, you got to hire everything. Like, so many people work at the ZBBC. I have to go over there for jazz practice. Like, I was there 2 days ago doing practice interviews. You got to hire all those people for hockey. And then you got to build a whole new building. And, like, where do they put the player locker room for the hockey team? And the, you know what I mean? Like, you're not sharing it with the Jazz players. They're, you don't have Jaromir Jagr and Walker Kessler sharing a...
I don't think Jaromir's still around.
He might be. Well, I'm not sure. Well, you gotta go get some of those old names to bring him in.
I think he's playing over in Czechoslovakia.
Bring him in. Big name. Building a winner for cheap.
I think he's 52.
Well, those are the faces I want to see from my childhood.
Yeah.
What's Yzerman doing?
Bring that guy back.
How's Fedorov? Is he still out there?
Sergei?
Bring him in. But regardless, I mean, I was just thinking, the amount of infrastructure you have to put in, you have to hire 50 new people just to, like, run the business side of it.
Yeah, I did work for the Jazz for a while, I remember.
Or you just bring everybody up from Arizona, I guess. Like, you could transfer a lot of those people. Not everyone's going to want to move to Salt Lake, though.
Oh, they're going to can all those people just for sport.
That's Ryan's MO. He's going to roll into the front office. I mean, that's a very Phoenix thing to do. That's what the last people, it's what the Sarvers were doing with the Suns.
Patrick Roy, 58.
But I know. You got the R. He's fine. He's fine. What's Bobby Orr doing?
He's probably 6 feet under.
What? Bobby Orr's dead?
No.
He might be. He very easily could be.
He easily could be. No, he's 76. Very much living.
Good. Put some skates on him.
Bring him back.
See if he still knows how to tape a stick.
I'm looking at pictures from his playing days. No
no helmet.
No helmet.
Yeah. Famous the dive.
Pretty tough guy. You playing that sport with no helmet? How was that ever a thing?
Oh, I mean, we're going to get to the point. This will be a funny thing that we're going to be talking about over the next 2 years is hockey's going to mandate masks. Like the half mask or the no mask is going to be gone. It's going to be like a full cage.
Well, the no mask has been gone for a while.
No, some guys still wear no mask, right?
You got to wear a helmet.
But some guys wear no masks still, I think.
I don't think so, because it was when they changed the rule, it was like the early 2000s or something like that, and you're grandfathered in if you played before the rule. But I think everybody's long gone. Like Eric Lindros famously didn't play with a mask forever, but like he's 105 now too.
But we will see it.
All right, stay tuned. We've got the top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com. Coming up next, Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go!
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I don't know if you were looking at me or not. You probably smile like that all the time. I don't mean to bother you, but I couldn't just.
Jake and Ben, want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the youth sports volunteer you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests. And listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. The Masters gets underway tomorrow, Ben, and we're qualifying listeners to win prizes. It's the Uinta Golf Major Giveaway. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We're going to sign you a golfer, and if that golfer wins the Masters, you win that player's brand of driver, courtesy of the good folks at Uinta Golf. I love this promotion.
Very cool.
Plus, it gives our a listener a little something else to root for. You know, a little stake in the game, so to speak.
Yep.
So caller 12 right now, 801-575 zone. Time for the top three stories of the day, KSLSports.com. Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, the Jazz fall to the Nuggets.
Ben, you were saying how much you enjoyed watching Hot Dog play basketball.
Well, you know, this was not probably, it was a quick game. Wasn't the most painful game. Jazz were pretty competitive throughout, but if you're tuning in to watch the rookies play and what the future of this team might look like, I'm not sure that's what you saw last night, because I don't know what the future holds for Talen Horton-Tucker or Omer Yurtseven, who combined for 44 points last night of the Jazz 95.
I actually don't, okay, like, I don't think that hot dog and hoops is the key to winning basketball games, but I actually think it was effective last night for one reason. Because the young players, you mentioned the young players, they just stink right now. They just stink so bad.
They could not throw
the ball in the ocean. And so do you expect them to try and stay competitive or not? You know, if they didn't put Hot Dog in the, where'd he go in? At the end of the first quarter, Ben? They would have lost by 40 again. Because at very least, and we gave Talen Horton-Tucker his nickname Hot Dog, because he can go out and hot dog up a couple of buckets for you. And if nobody else is going to throw it in the, is going to be able to do anything offensively, you might as well let Hot Dog go shoot 23 times.
Yep.
And honestly, I mean, you mentioned that the game was, it was competitive. I mean, they got it down to three, and it was because of him. They would have lost by 30 if it was not for him, because he scored when they, somebody had to, mm-hmm. or else they were going to finish the first half with 31 points.
It's the delicate insanity that is tanking games and trying to, like, develop players, but they're so bad because they're just not ready to win yet that it's almost bad for them that they're on the floor losing by 30. But if randomly they're too good and they're winning games, you don't want them to be playing. You know, it's just like...
But if you're a coach, I mean, I don't know if they have an entitlement problem, but it wouldn't surprise me. Like, if you're not going to get it done, I'm going to let Hot Dog go. I'm going to let Hot Dog eat.
Omer.
Yeah.
Like, no, let Omer play.
Right. And so you send the message, too, to the young players that's like, we think you have potential, but you got to play.
Yeah.
You got to play and you got to run. And these fast breaks off made baskets have got to stop. I mean, you got to run back on defense. You can't just stand there. You got to do that stuff or you're not going to play. And so I don't think Will Hardy, Talen had a DNP on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Will Hardy wants to play Talen.
Oh, and he wouldn't have played had Colin Sexton been available, but he got sick right before the game.
So, but it sends the message like, this isn't what I want to do, but I'm going to do it if you're not going to play.
Yeah.
And so I think it was effective in that way. And I don't think Talen shooting 23 times is the recipe to long-term success. And I don't think he's going to be long-term on the team. But that even makes the message louder. Like, this guy isn't a part of our future at all, but I'm going to play him.
And he's got a green light.
But he's going to play hard. I mean, say what you will about Talen, and I'm not saying he's the world's greatest defender either, but he plays hard every time he plays.
Three more games left for the Jazz. Thursday against the Rockets. Friday on the road at the Clippers. Sunday, they close it out against the Golden State Warriors. A lot of other good games, though, going on in the NBA. Again, if you're a basketball fan, tonight, a huge game. Minnesota Timberwolves on the road at Denver, who we just saw last night. Both of those teams played last night. Could determine who gets the top seed in the West. They're both tied right now. Minnesota's going to have the tiebreaker regardless of what happens. So Denver needs to win this game and then really win out.
Do you want the top seed in the West?
I do.
Does either of those teams, do you necessarily, is that a given that that's a good thing?
So you're probably going to play the Warriors in the first round. Seventh seed, there's a real good chance, the seventh seed, if you end up with the second seed and you play seven, you're probably playing the Lakers.
Right now, though, you would not be.
Right now.
Yeah, right now you'd be playing the winner of the Suns and the Kings.
Yeah.
Which I'd way rather play the Suns and the Kings than the Lakers or the Warriors.
Lakers are playing really well. Lakers are well over five, and they're like playing 65% win percentage over the last 20 games or 30 games. They're playing well.
don't want to deal with LeBron in the first round if I can avoid
it. No, the fouls, all the stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's 1,000 years old and the Lakers are far from unbeatable, but I mean, who do you want to play against in the first round? A extraordinarily flawed Suns team or LeBron?
There's some irony that the one team in the West that I've seen actually give the Nuggets consistent trouble this year is the Suns. They've kind of always just been hard to beat. They've lost in Denver. Like, the Suns have been hard.
Did you see the Suns start against the Clippers last night?
Let's see. I screenshotted it. It was so good. 34-4?
Yeah,
was my screenshot.
Something along those
35-4.
Lines. 35-4. Yeah.
35-4. No Kawhi. And they were up 31 points in the first quarter on the Phoenix Suns. Yeah, oh, it's a mess. Now, the Suns are still have a puncher's chance because of those three players. But I think the Nuggets would be better suited against the Lakers than the Timberwolves would be, because we saw the Nuggets swept the Lakers last year in the conference finals. And the Timberwolves' size, I think, would be really a lot for Phoenix to deal with.
And the Kings lost two of their key players and are no longer a factor. So if you can play the Kings,
play the Kings.
Try and play the Kings.
But yeah, the West is going to be fun. The matchups are going to be fun. We don't know what they're going to be yet. Minus Clippers.
But I wouldn't
Clippers Mavericks in the first round.
But I just ask about the top seed because I wouldn't want the Lakers or the Warriors if I could help it.
I would want home court advantage. And I actually think that really matters for Denver because of the
altitude. It doesn't matter to anybody.
I mean, historically, it's mattered to Denver. Helped them last year.
Eh, they were the best team in the West last year.
Yeah, yeah. And they also, I think, only lost one game at home all playoffs.
All right, what's next?
Number two, Calipari hired by the Razorbacks at a reduced salary.
It's official. Was it $7 million a year is what we're seeing, his numbers?
Did you read kind of the reporting on the backstory that came out yesterday that... And maybe this is fake news, who knows. But that Coach Cal entertained the Arkansas offer to take it back to Kentucky to get a bump. And Kentucky said,
oh, cool.
Oh, you should probably take that.
Good luck with that. Absolutely good luck with that.
I mean, just the hubris, though, that Coach Cal would not know that the entire fan base has turned on him.
Yep.
That the university was probably considering paying that $30 million buyout.
And he's had a tumultuous relationship with the athletic director there for a long time. Well, at least as long as this athletic director has been there. Like, they are not – they're awkward. They're really awkward together because there's a power struggle of, like, who's the big dog here.
And to march into that AD's office, I'll take it. I will take it. And the AD's like, oh, that's so great. Yeah,
on the way out,
you're really solving
hit
a problem.
The copier, leave me a photocopy. You can just leave it in the tray. I'll grab it on the way out the door.
But just the lack of self-awareness is incredible. That the shine's off, Coach Cal.
And then Scott Drew seems like the overwhelming favorite now to take the Kentucky job. He is interviewing for the job.
I wonder why he would take it.
Kentucky is an easier place to win than Baylor.
Yeah, but bird in the hand, ball in the carpet kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, I got a good thing going.
He does. He must believe in himself as a coach, and rightfully so. And then
yeah, sure, but
easier to recruit to Kentucky.
But Kentucky's win it all or you're the GOAT. I mean, that's what's getting Cal. That's what he was too arrogant to realize.
Scott Drew's a much better coach than Coach Calipari is and will have far more money to work with for his recruiting.
I think Scott Drew is terrific. I think that actually would be a home run for Kentucky. I just don't know if it's that big of a – would it be that big of a no-brainer to take it? I don't know. All right, what's next?
Number three, another update on getting the Coyotes to Utah.
So the big news this morning, if you missed it, we've got it at kslsports.com. The NHL is currently drafting a 2024-2025 schedule that includes two versions, one for the Arizona Coyotes to continue to play in Arizona and another for the team to play in Salt Lake City. You don't do that accidentally. You know, that is a pretty significant investment on how to play and what this has got to look like.
It shows me that I think the NHL has already moved on from Phoenix, or at least it feels that way, right? And maybe they're giving a Hail Mary option to somebody, but that feels like, hey, we're out. We're just waiting for the ink to dry.
Well, let's put it in terms that we understand. Imagine if there was an NBA team, because we've all grown up with the Jazz and been here forever. We know kind of the inner workings of the NBA. Imagine if one season the Portland Trailblazers were playing in a college gym that seated 8,000 people. We're like, you got to get that team out of there. What are you doing? That team can't stay there. That's not tenable at all. Like, we would all recognize what an insane and toxic situation that would be, and that's exactly where the Coyotes are in Arizona.
So it feels inevitable. Seems I don't like want
to. I agree with you.
I don't want to count chickens or whatever that thing is, but I mean the fact that the league would do that. I've seen a bunch of franchises and a bunch of sports move, Ben. I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Season ends on April 18th. Sounds like there could be news of a sale as soon as then. Though I wonder if they still want to go through the process of figuring out if they can buy that land and keep the hopes of holding on to the Coyotes and keeping them in Arizona alive. But the mayor doesn't want it.
There's no way. The mayor said, we don't want you.
It's still auction. It's still an auction. And if you want to pay the most to buy that land, I think you still have that opportunity to do it. But the mayor doesn't want it. That's not a good sign.
No.
So,
not a good sign at all.
Look, I'm at this point. My switch has flipped. I suspect that we're going to have an NHL team in Salt Lake City next year, like next season, within the calendar year.
That'd be awesome.
It's crazy.
It'd be awesome. All right, stay tuned. We'll have more Jake and Ben coming up. Don't forget that we have What You Got Wednesday coming up at 11:30. Brian Taylor's going to join us at 11:50, and we've got Win Ticket Wednesday coming up next. So stay tuned, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
You don't sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
You're on the couch. Jake and Ben. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Ben, Sarah reminded us earlier that today is Wednesday. And that means it's a Win Ticket Wednesday. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. You're going to win a pair of tickets to go see Sam Hunt at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August the 3rd. Man, I love it. The concert season is coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
You know, I only make it to one or two a summer anymore. My calendar of concerts used to be a little more filled, but I'll tell you what, a few things better than a summer night.
Live music?
Jamming.
Do you recognize this song, Jake?
No. Is it a famous one, I'm guessing?
Yeah, this is one of those more popular ones. I just figured you might have heard it like in a grocery store or something, because it was pretty popular for a while.
All right. I believe it. There are a lot of things that are popular that I'm not aware of at all.
We're trying to keep you hip.
I appreciate that. No, Sam sounds like a pretty hip guy. Are you going to go?
Probably not. I like Sam Hunt, but he's not my favorite.
Is anybody coming this summer that you're particularly excited about?
No. I don't know. I haven't gone to concerts in a while. I feel like I've been prioritizing other things, and concerts haven't been on the priority list. I haven't even looked, honestly.
Really? I need to look more, too. I agree.
I will say the second Rihanna says she's going on tour, I will be going.
You're going to find her.
All right. I'd go see Rihanna.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blues Traveler's coming. You ever seen Blues Traveler?
I have not.
Really good.
Yeah?
That John Popper can play that harmonica like nobody's business. Isn't he extremely thin now?
Oh, is he? Has he dropped?
Well, I don't know. I think he got the surgery a long time ago, and sometimes you ebb and flow, you know what I mean?
Huh.
So I have no idea. But
it finally stuck.
But when I saw him originally, I saw him at the Gallivan Center, which was a extremely cool place to see Blues Traveler, and he was very thin.
I like that Salt Lake has been a place to stop. And as we've been talking about hockey, it just continues to grow kind of your image, your understanding, your knowledge base that people have of you as a town. You know, some of these hockey towns that maybe have no reason to have much affiliation for Salt Lake City over the last 22 years since we had the Olympics might have a little bit more interest. The Canadiens excited to get a little more familiar with the state of Utah.
I gotta pay attention to who's coming. I got to get on that, Ben. I get, you know what? I really want to take my 6-year-old to her first concert this summer.
Oh, that'd be fun.
So I got to pick the right one, though, because, you know, you go through life and you say, ah, my first concert, right?
Korn.
That was yours?
No. I'm thinking maybe take your daughter to Korn.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like Korn when they were popular. Are they still a thing?
They're back.
How old are those guys? Those guys were 1,000 years old when they were popular.
Were they?
I always know, seemed that way.
Gen Xers, right? They're probably 50.
Are you going to see Korn?
I wasn't planning on it.
All right.
53. Which is the new 35.
Sure. Let's see. Is Trombone Shorty coming this year? That's the one I usually go to.
You just don't miss it, do you?
No, I don't. He's my favorite. And we have a kid's book of Trombone Shorty. I was kind of hoping that he might be Sadie's first concert, but it doesn't look like he's coming. Coming to Vegas in September.
You drive down.
Yeah. Maybe we'll make that happen. Anywho, sorry about that, Ben. But no concerts on your agenda. But you like those little venue concerts.
I haven't gone to a little venue concert in a while. Yeah, I need to go. I need to get out.
Terrible bands just struggling to put food on the table.
Get put in a headlock by somebody, like I did last time. I went to the show.
Where was that place again?
One of the ones over by the Gateway. I don't know what, I can't remember what it's called. But there's a couple of little
bricks
venues. Maybe. I couldn't tell you. I could tell you if I saw it. I wouldn't be able to tell you the name if you said it, because I know there's 5 names that are right over there and got put in a headlock in one of them.
Is Brix still a dance club? Did you ever go to Brix when you were young?
I didn't, no.
I went to Brix a bunch of times. Brix was in, what's that movie, Way of the Gun? Have you ever seen that movie?
I haven't.
The Christopher McQuarrie written Way of the Gun, you know what I'm talking about, with Ryan Felipe and Benicio del Toro? Like, that movie's filmed in Utah, and the opening scene of that movie is in...
In Brix?
In front of Brix.
Formerly Brix.
But I don't think that exists anymore. Maybe it does.
I don't think so. I haven't heard anyone talk about it in a long time.
What about Axis? That was the other
Club
big one.
Club Axis. Deviate.
Deviate.
Yeah.
The Bay?
Area 51.
The Bay is now a restaurant. Area 51, the sign is still up, but I don't think it's a thing.
Yeah.
It was a thing a few years ago.
Yeah,
it was?
Yeah, not that long ago, because I went one time in college.
How was it?
They have a disco night.
Yeah.
So a lot of college students go to that.
Okay. All right. Way to go, Area 51. Still standing. Back in the late 90s, early 2000 techno club days.
What's the popular one that you went to for your bachelorette party?
Last year? It's changed names so many times. There was one called Karma. Sky is another popular one.
Yeah.
It's like Ibiza a dance club?
Is another popular one.
Not just a bar, but a dance club.
No, they're
actual
dance clubs. Yeah.
All right. I remember Brix back in the day. They had the 18 and overside and the 21 and overside.
I don't think that's a thing anymore. All the ones I've seen are
21 and over.
21 and up, but I could be wrong.
All right. See, we're hipping it up here, Ben.
Yeah, we're cool.
When was the last time you went to a dance club?
Honestly, I went a month ago.
Of course you did.
He's still hip.
Yeah, of course.
I did. I've got some young people I know, and I went out and had dinner with some older friends, and then got an invite to go hang out with some younger friends.
Did you take your glow sticks?
It's not that type of club.
No?
No.
Not a thing anymore?
I don't think you'd be welcome if you brought glow sticks anywhere. I was the old guy there. I absolutely was standing on the floor and looking around like, oh, it happened.
Yeah.
It happened, everybody. It
happened a while ago, actually.
The guy who's very, very rapidly approaching middle ages here.
Do you remember
and
how
they
you
all know it?
Do you remember how you viewed that guy in your 20s?
Absolutely. Yeah. And now it rules. Yeah. I remember being like, who's that guy?
Who's that old guy creeping
around? And now
around.
I totally get why he does it. It's the best.
Oh.
Because you stop caring. I remember being 20 and being like, do people think I'm cool? Is that a thing? You'd be 37, nobody cares.
No, I'm not worried. If I'm the old guy at the dance club, I'm not worried if people think I'm cool.
No, that's what you worry about when you're 21 or 22. You're worried about what other people think.
Those people do think that you're a creep and that you need to move on with life.
People are, I will say this, and
And
credit
you're actually not really cling to youth guy. I'm not painting you in an accurate corner necessarily.
No, like I didn't wear crazy clothes.
There absolutely are cling to youth people that aren't coming off how they think they're coming off.
No, nor was I. I was not out perusing. But shout out to the young people now. It's a better scene than when I was younger and used to go out. It's more relaxed. Like, people are dressed normal. They're kind of just presenting themselves. It seems a lot better than it used to, in my opinion. So I credit the young people. It's, like, less toxic than it was when I was 25.
I feel like Jake was never the guy that cared what people thought.
No. To not always. That's not always a compliment.
Still, I'm not.
Yeah.
What do you mean not always a compliment? I don't care what you think either.
Right. That's not always a compliment. It's not always a great thing.
I should be more concerned about others' thoughts about me. Not being courteous to them, but be more concerned about their opinion about me and my lifestyle?
Yeah.
I don't think that's
going to
happen.
No, that's not going to happen. No, that ship has sailed.
I don't think that's happening anytime soon. All right, stay tuned. More Jake and Ben coming up next. No, I didn't hit Peach.
We're going to be there on
Sarah.
Friday.
We are going to be there on Friday. Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, or simply drop by and see us on Friday, 2940 South, 300 West, Peach Doors and Windows. We'll have more coming up straight ahead. Also, what you got Wednesday at 1130, Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Than us.
No!
Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Say hello, and I don't mean to pry, but girl, I gotta know, what is your name? How come I ain't seen you around before? So, you know, I ain't never had a type, having a type takes two, but I know what I like, and you're the only one of you, you're something else. And I know we just met,
Jake and Ben. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you to join JJ and Alex coming up today from 3 to 6 at the Dish Bros, 8034 South State Street in Midvale. Drop by and, yes, you could meet the world-famous Ryan from the Dish Professionals. He will say hello to you. He signs autographs. I've seen it.
Warning you. He's tall.
He is very tall.
Yep.
Ryan's the best. Go check those guys out this afternoon. It's funny, Ben. I just now got a text from a friend, a fellow dad friend, who's from Buffalo, played college hockey, huge hockey person, still plays hockey on men's teams, travels, that whole thing. You should see the elated text I just got with a link to our KSLSports.com article about the Coyotes and this dual schedule, one in Phoenix, one in Salt Lake, which is unprecedented.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are weird contingencies that they make that we don't hear about because they're so unrealistic and never get to hear about. But this to get out is a tough sign. I mean, imagine if the roles were reversed and we were hoping to not lose a team out of Salt Lake City. And you're like, they built a schedule for Arizona. You'd be like, well, that's
it's
it.
It's gone. Yeah.
It's done.
It's over.
And I suspect that's where we are. I mean, I think it's probably that close. I think it's a matter of when and not if anymore. Can they get it done as soon as next season? Can they be playing here next year? Be awesome.
Mere details.
Yep.
They'd play at Delta Center, right? You don't think they'd play at Maverick?
No, they'd play at Delta Center. Yeah, they'd figure out a way to get that done.
Because what's the capacity of Maverick Center?
It's better than you would think.
It's like 12 or 13,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not.
Maybe even that might be big. Because there is a portion. I mean, we think of Delta Center now. Their capacity is right around 18,000, right? I mean, I bet you
12,000. Yeah,
I bet you that number of suitable hockey watching seats is 16,000, maybe 15,000. So the gap might be a little closer than you'd think, I guess, is my point. But yeah, I'm sure they play at Delta Center if for no other reason than Ryan owns the building.
Yeah, it's Ryan's building. I have heard that that's the plan. If it goes through, that the Delta Center is the plan.
During the Olympics, they built a temporary hockey arena in Seven Peaks.
Yeah.
Down in Provo. Let's do that.
Let's bring another one out.
Let's do that thing. I watched a hockey game down there. I watched Russia play somebody. Who'd they play? But anyway, I was shocked at how cool it was, believe it or not. Like a temporary hockey facility, just built in basically a parking lot. It was pretty rad.
So the news, if you're just tuning in, the NHL, as we mentioned, is putting together two schedules for their league next year. One for the Arizona hockey team continuing to play in Arizona, and one that they might be playing in Salt Lake City. That's the unprecedented part of it. And it sounds like there's a chance that within the week, we'll say 8 days, April 18th, when the hockey season ends, that maybe we could hear of a sale that quickly. I would be surprised on that, but there is this big land auction coming in June where the Coyotes would like to win that. At least that was the latest rumor as of yesterday. They would like to win that that auction in Scottsdale and move the team there, but the mayor has no interest.
Well, and why am I forgetting our guest yesterday?
Dan.
Dan Bickley.
Yeah.
As he mentioned yesterday, it's this land we're talking about is coming from the Arizona State Trust, so they're releasing it. It's like prime real estate. It's not swamp land.
And
you know
what
I mean?
It's the last like habitable land that you're going to be able to get.
There's going to be other
bidders
that are real and going to be going for it. So it's not going to be
easy thing to accomplish.
Yeah, like it would be a Hail Mary. So apparently it's right on the border of Scottsdale and Phoenix too. Scottsdale mayor is like, nope,
not gonna
absolutely
happen.
Not.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing. Again, this has been this golden goose that we have been chasing for a long time in the state of Utah, trying to get this other major professional sports team, one of the major four, to come to Salt Lake. And it sounds like Ryan Smith is on the precipice of doing it. I mean, it's a huge delivery. And I will say, you've got to credit Ryan. All the things he has said he's going to do, he has done so far.
He's doing them.
He has done them. He has put his money where his mouth is, quite literally. I mean, he's going to have to pay a big chunk of this. I know there's been a lot of conversation about the taxpayer money going into it and where other funds are coming into. He bought the Jazz. He's putting money together to get this relocation. I mean, this isn't taxpayer fees to bring this team to Salt Lake City. It's going to be Ryan's team, however much he has to pay to get the controlling interest, or maybe he buys it outright. I don't know how that works. He does have wealthy friends that might be interested in being part owners of this, but
It'll be a group, I'm sure.
He is doing, I mean, they got that whole group together, was it 2 years ago now, that was designed specifically to bring another professional sports team.
It's just how things are done now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're standalone family buying it just isn't the way these transactions happen anymore.
So he's delivered. And, you know, I would say delivering that is probably a little bit more in control than delivering a championship. But those are the other things he's talked about. And so far, the things he has mentioned wanting to be a part of and wanting to do in Salt Lake and Utah overall have come to fruition.
He's doing for Salt Lake what Howard Hughes did for Vegas.
Sure. That's what I was going to say. I didn't want to say it out loud. If we see Ryan walking around with tissue boxes on his feet.
Oh, no, we'll
I'm
never
pull him aside and say, Ryan, this has gone too far.
But see, that's the key. You're saying see him. We won't see
him
again.
Oh, at that point, yeah. He's just living in the basement of the Delta Center.
Right. But doing nice things for the community.
Yeah. Just have some henchmen.
Out there doing his bidding.
Out
yeah,
there doing that, everything for him.
Yeah, right. But that's
see
okay.
Ryan once before a Jazz game.
As long as you're, we like eccentric.
Fingernails are 8 inches long.
We like eccentric when it's doing good.
Poor wife. Ryan's changed.
I'm his wife. I haven't seen him in years.
I'd be surprised.
I talked to him through a mail slot in the door.
I'd be surprised.
I got to call Peach and get a better door slot.
I'd be surprised if we lost Ryan that way. But
you
hey,
don't think
man,
that's his future?
You know what I would be interested in all honesty? Can I just bring a conspiracy theory that is probably inappropriate to bring up at this point, even though we're talking about Ryan Smith turning into Howard Hughes? If I was ever going to strip the Jazz down to the nuts and bolts, to the studs, wouldn't you do it the first year you had a hockey team here in You had a big shiny new object to take everyone's attention.
Sell hockey tickets.
Like if I were gonna say, you know what, we should have tanked for Victor Wembanyama. We didn't do it. And I'm saying if. I'm not telling them what they should have done. But if that's how you feel, and you've got these next 2 years where you've got a kid like Cooper Flagg coming in who's supposed to be everything, or Ace Bailey who's supposed to be everything, and then the year after that you've got the Boozer twins. Like if you really wanted to strip this thing down, completely hit the reset button, which probably means moving on from Lowry Markkanen, Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, John Collins, or whatever. If you wanted to do it, having the umbrella or shield of a hockey team to protect you is not a bad time to do it.
Yeah. I bet you Ryan, though, is hoping one doesn't take a bite out of the other.
Well, that would be another concern. Like, does one take priority over the other?
Yeah, you're hoping no.
He's a basketball guy. He plays basketball. He's a Jazz fan growing up. He's talked about that a lot. I would be surprised if the Jazz lost in that area, but that also, it's the new thing that you got to take care of, and sometimes the baby gets more attention than the three-year-old.
But you know what I mean? I think, like, he's not hoping he has to sacrifice sponsorship dollars. When I think of one taking a bite out of the other, that's mainly what I'm thinking about. I don't know if there are a lot of fans that would say, well, now I'm ditching the Jazz and going to hockey or vice versa.
No, I don't think so either.
I'd be worried about sponsorship dollars a little bit, where there's only so much of that out there, and now you've got to split the pie a little bit differently. But,
you know, I remember a bunch of people when masks were required at the Delta Center saying, like, we'll never advertise here again. I've not seen a lack of ad space in that building since the second I've walked in, a day after.
I know.
There are people lined up that can't get in the door, and if the door opens for them, they'll find a way to do it.
But it's not like they're passing on any sponsorship dollars. You know what I mean?
I actually don't know if that's true. They very well could be.
I'm not mean controversially. I mean,
no,
like,
I mean they absolutely
like
could
overall,
be.
Like, they're not saying no. If somebody wants to sponsor the Jazz, regardless of, I'm not talking about controversial stuff, they're not saying, man, we're full. You know what I mean?
Like, you know what? I honestly not sure that's true. I'm not kidding. There are, like, because what do you sponsor now, right? Like, you sponsor game nights, you sponsor social media posts, you sponsor all these things of being like, hey, we want this. And they're like, guys, we've got 82 games. Like, only 41 are in Salt Lake. Like, we can't make a 42nd game for you to sponsor. You've got your game night, Scott's Lawn and Garden or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have games in May. You can't sponsor it. There's nothing there. Or we've got a first quarter graphic for the final score. It's already sponsored. It's sold. Like, we're not going to do the 9-minute logo that we tweet out every game. Like, they honestly might be close to capacity. And you're right, they'll always find room to bring other things in. But some of those types of sponsorships that are, like, easily available, this package, I would imagine they've had to say no to some people. In all honesty. That would be my bet. So hockey would fill in there. And, man, there would be no lack of interest in advertising with a hockey team with the amount of eyes and interest that are going to be going to all those games.
Well, we'll see. I mean, this gets back to our growing economy and all that sort of stuff because, you know, for years, Ben, I've been talking about all this stuff for years, and what stood in the way is corporate sponsorship money. Why don't we have a PGA Tour stop here? Well, we don't have the corporate sponsorship money. So, I mean, that problem didn't just go away. But you'd hope you'd create more. You wouldn't have to take a bite out of the Jazz to have a hockey team.
No, I don't think so.
And they're hoping you don't have to take a bite out of either to have a Major League Baseball team. But maybe you do. Larry Miller feared that. I don't want to report news, but I know that Larry was somewhat apprehensive when the soccer team got here.
Mm-hmm. Which, in retrospect, is somewhat foolish.
I don't know how much one is overlapped over the other. I'm not sure, but I know that was a thing. So I don't think he invented it like a fantasy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's something that you have to worry about because you've got it. That's, you know, that's the dough that keeps the lights on. You know, the tickets pay the players. It's the other stuff that really makes it go round.
And I would imagine you could sell, you know, dual sponsorships. Hockey, NBA. I mean, you're buying the Delta Center, right? You're buying the ad space in the Delta Center for now instead of 41 nights a year, 81 nights or 82 nights a year.
So are they going to knock the building down and build it again?
Yeah, I have no idea how that aspect works. It's like, well, you're not going to do that in off season.
Nope, not like the remodel. They barely got the remodel in, and that was a fraction of the project that knocking it down and rebuilding it would be. It'd take several years.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they saying the baseball stadium in Vegas is going to take? Like 3 years?
Yeah. So No, it's going to have to be built on top of what's existing, right? Like, that has to be part of it.
Jeez, I don't know.
Can you bulldoze the whole building? Maybe you can.
I think you'd have to. That's what I'm saying. Like, because the way that the stands are built, Ben, you'd have to rebuild the whole thing because you have to make it more gradual and not as steep. That's the whole problem.
Yeah.
So a refit doesn't fix that. I think you have to start from scratch.
I mean, they got the money, right? The money wasn't to just slap some new paint on the outside of the building.
No, because the remodel, I think it was $200 million and change, yeah. I want to say, somewhere in that neighborhood.
We're
Does that sound right? We're talking about
10 times that?
At least.
At least, right? There's the $1 billion in taxpayer money and whatever money Ryan puts up and then the other $1 billion donor. So.
Yeah, right. That's knock it down and start again.
Yeah, I would think
that's
so.
That's not refit the building.
Yeah.
But again, I don't see how you could possibly refit the building. I think you have to. But then where do you go from there? Then you have to go to the Maverick Center.
Maverick Center and Huntsman Center? You know, yeah. Is that
I don't
the
think
jazz
you can
play?
Put ice on the Huntsman Center.
No, Maverick Center for hockey, yeah. Huntsman Center for the Jazz.
Yep.
Something like that? What's Weaver doing?
Maybe the Marriott Center for the Jazz. It's bigger.
Yeah, it is bigger.
Not in the same town, though.
No, Jazz fans would be
grumpy.
Frustrated.
Well, Salt Lake Jazz fans would be grumpy.
Provo fans would be thrilled. Media members would be frustrated.
Well, that's the only opinion that matters. I mean, I'm not going to pick on any individual media member.
David James,
come on. You can't put that kind of miles on that Prius.
He's got the best car for it.
He does have the best car for it. That's true.
I'm going to have to get rid of the Hummer.
All right. You have a Hummer?
That's what I'm driving now.
Coming up next.
Can't park anywhere.
We've got What You Got Wednesday.
One of the old ones.
Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Trying to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Time for What You Got Wednesday. Everybody's favorite or least favorite segment of the week. If you're new to the show, we do 2 5 selection drafts, one sports related, one not, and then we put it out for a vote. We've got a new feature on our KSL Sports app, the call-in feature, where you can record up to 60 seconds of audio and send it right to Sarah in the booth. So if you want to tell us what idiots we are and what we've forgotten, there's an avenue available for you.
We'll take it.
All right. What is our sports-related draft today, Sarah?
All right. In honor of Jokic playing last night against the Jazz, we are doing best current foreign NBA players.
Best current foreign NBA players. Ben, you trounced me in both last week. All-time NBA rookie seasons, you beat me, and animals in movies.
You got Michael Jordan, so I'm surprised I beat you.
Yeah, what am I going to do? The listeners are super wrong.
Call in.
I don't know. So I get the first pick in both drafts today. That's
okay.
Nice. Okay, so best foreign NBA players, I'm going to go with the inspiration for the draft, Nikola Jokic.
This is a good pick to have first and third. I will go with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, I think that's number two.
I think so.
Number three, I'll take Luka Doncic.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem.
That's the
debate. Whoever you take. If you want to take Luka two, you're getting Giannis three. If I take Giannis two, you're getting Luka three.
Yeah, that's true. 1 and 3 was strong.
1 and 3. But I think there's actually a very obvious fourth here. And actually, I think this guy would have gone higher had he been healthy. It's Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
I mean, Joel this year, had it not been for injury, we would be talking about arguably the greatest offensive season of all time. He's scoring more than a point per minute on the floor. He and Will Chamberlain. And, you know, I'm not trying to demean what Will Chamberlain did, but nobody does that nowadays.
See, now it gets a little bit more tricky now, doesn't it?
It's a little harder.
I'm going to go with Domantas Sabonis.
Okay. Domus, as they call him.
All-Stars.
Yep. you're going to get mad at me for this one, but I think you overlooked him, and I think it's fair. Shea Gildas-Alexander, Canadian.
Oh, that is lame.
Canada?
Canada doesn't.
He doesn't play for Team USA.
That's so dumb.
That's an international player. Like Steve Nash was an international player.
No, he wasn't. He went to Santa Clara.
So? You could play in college and be an international player.
Whatever. That's dumb.
it's where the best players are coming. Take Kelly Olynyk.
I mean, we didn't specify, so I feel like we can't throw a flag.
What's there to specify? You need a passport to go there. There's nothing to specify. You needed. It's not like I drafted Tim Duncan from the Virgin Islands.
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, Gobert's a good pick. You know what? I'm going to take Lauri Markkanen. He's not been what he was last year this year, but Lowry's superb. Fabulous player.
I guess we're heavy on the French, but I'll go with Big Vic.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I mean, Victor, next year, Victor might end up being like our fourth overall pick. He's that good. He's not going to stop being incredible. So just enjoy it while you can. Enjoy rooting for other teams while you can, because he's quickly coming and taking over. You know, for as much talk as there is about the NBA being all foreign-born players, it's not everybody. What's this pick for me?
Last one.
This is my last one?
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys ran through this pretty quick.
Well, let me take some time then on my fifth pick. Is there an obvious player I'm missing? I've got like Bogdan Bogdanovic in my head because he's having a great year, but that's not the right answer. Boyan's not that good anymore. Oh, I feel like I'm going to be angry with myself for not having a more obvious selection here. All right. Give me Boyan. Local favorite, Boyan Bogdanovic. I'm missing a lot of players.
I would have taken Kristaps Porzingis.
Oh, yeah, Porzingis. Absolutely. Better than Boyan. Way better.
He's having a great year in Boston.
No, we went through this so quickly, I didn't have time to catch up on my research as much as I would like to have. No, he's been absolutely awesome. He was bad in Dallas, ignored in Washington, but has been absolutely incredible. Yeah, that was a flub on my part. Kristaps is the right choice, no question.
Could have taken Yusuf Nurkic?
No.
No?
Boyan's probably better than Nurk.
No, not going to do that. Howell Neto?
Not playing anymore. Out of the league.
Ricard Rubio?
Out of the league. Retired. Oh, I could have taken like Franz Wagner.
That would have been
a good
one.
There are players who are better than Boyan. Boyan will get me votes, and I'll say that was the reason I did it.
All right, what is our not sports?
Did you want to do a quick recap?
Oh, yeah, do.
Let's see if I can not butcher their names. Jake, you have 1, Nikola Jokic, 2, Luka Doncic, 3, Domantas Sabonis.
Yep.
4, Rudy Gobert, and then 5, Big Vic. Ben, you have 1, Giannis, 2, Joel Embiid, 3, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 4, Lauri Markkanen, and 5, Boyan Bogdanovic.
Okay. Those are good.
I'm surprised. You guys were quick with your answers.
I didn't go heavy on Canadians. I could have. Jamal Murray. Absolutely in that mix. We saw him last night as well. You know what? I don't feel bad about Boyan, actually.
Well, you should, because he hardly plays.
He doesn't play anymore, but he was actually really good in Detroit over the last couple of years. He has not been utilized very well by our friend.
Well,
Tom,
why would you want a good player to play? What is our not sports-related topic?
All right. In honor of today being National Siblings Day, we're doing top 5 best fictional siblings. So movies, TVs, books, you name it.
All right. Do you feel like there's an obvious number one here?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I do not. Now I'm hesitant on who I'm going to pick here, but I'll go with it. Luke and Leia.
Yeah, that's the obvious pick. Yeah, that's it. One-time lovers turned brother and sister.
Were they lovers?
Well, they kiss.
All right,
but before they find out that they're
there's a, I don't want to get into a biology lesson with you, but there's a big difference.
Well, that was kind of the thought, was that they were going to be a couple.
Okay, way to make it creepy. But yeah, Luke and Leia.
That's the right pick. That was the number one pick. And then I think this thing totally opens up. And then I'm actually going really heavy personal preference here. But I will go with the next most iconic duo when it comes to famous siblings. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito in the movie Twins. Iconic. That was actually the first thing that thought popped into my head when we're talking about iconic siblings.
All right.
Twins with Danny DeVito.
Yeah, that
and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That seems fine. I don't know where to. I truly. You know what? I'm gonna go this way. Chip and Dale.
Oh, okay. You've been six of your last seven.
All cartoons.
Have been cartoons. Of your latest draft selections have been cartoons. It's just funny. I like that about you. I'm going to go the Sanderson sisters from Hocus Pocus. I think I might get some local votes and some nostalgia votes. A lot of people like the Hocus Pocus. I think those are a good set of witches, those three. Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker.
I'm going to take this one because it's my personal favorite, and there's a small chance maybe that you would take this. I don't think you and I are going to overlap much on
no,
this.
No, I only drew out seven names.
But I'm going to go with the Tannenbaums.
Oh, Royal Tannenbaums. I had it. Actually, I was thought about it. Great family.
Great. Well, they and the siblings are
hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
The Tannenbaums.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, I will go another place where I think we might have overlap, and then we won't have to do it anymore. Give me the Bluth siblings.
Yeah.
From the Bluths.
Yeah, from Arrested Development. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great pick.
Michael, Lindsay, Buster, Job.
Job is the best.
They're all great. Michael's an idiot. Lindsay's an idiot. Buster's hilarious. Buster at the construction site is the funniest thing of all time.
So
give me the Bluths.
The Bluths.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with the, and this probably won't get me any votes, but I feel like at least everybody's aware of it, the Hardy Boys.
Okay. Yeah. What is this, three for me, Sarah? Four? I've done four already? Oh, man, I got to make these two count then. Give me... This is a tough relationship. It's not actually a great relationship, but it's a tough relationship. You've seen What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Yeah.
Johnny Depp and Leo DiCaprio. All Johnny right. Depp's more of a caretaker, but always doesn't do a great job as a caretaker. So Arnie and Gilbert from What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
I'm going back to the... Yeah, that movie's a downer.
It is. It's a sad movie.
Overrated. I'm going to go back to the cartoon world. Linus and Lucy.
Okay.
There's Charlie Brown.
I love Peanuts. I have several pieces of Peanuts clothing.
And that's the name of...
The song.
The song is called Linus and Lucy.
I think you're going to win this one. I'm picking between two here. One's more famous. One's my favorite. And Hans is going to be happy that I pick this one. Toby and Tanner from Hell or High Water. Chris Pine and Ben Foster. They go on the bank robbery tour, if you haven't seen it, to try and take care of their family. It's awesome.
It's a great movie.
Awesome. One of the... I think enough people have seen it, but if you haven't, one of the most underrated movies of the last 20 years. It's just unbelievably good. No notes. 10 out of 10.
I mean, it won Best Picture, right?
Hasn't it didn't everybody... win Best Picture, no. I don't even think it got nominated.
Really?
Yeah, no. Tiny. Tiny movie.
It wasn't a tiny movie.
Hell or High Water was not a big movie.
What's his name? Jeff
Bridges in it.
He's a huge star.
Yeah, he's a star. But, I mean, so is Chris Pine. But it was a pretty small movie. Like, I bet that budget was like $20 million. So.
All right, should we review?
Yeah, anyone need to? Oh, yeah, let's review, then we can talk about what we didn't pick.
All right, Jake, you have one Luke and Leia, two Chip and Dale, three the Tannenbaums.
Tannenbaums, yeah.
Four, the Hardy Boys. Five, Linus and Lucy. Ben, you have one, Julius and Vincent, right? Is their names? and twins?
Yes.
Okay.
Danny DeVito and Arnold. You can just put, in some of these situations, put Danny and Arnold twins.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then two, you have the Sanderson sisters. Yep. Three, you have the Bluths siblings. Four, you have Arnie and Gilbert. And then five, you have Toby and Tanner.
Yep. Hell or high water.
Nominated for four Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor, Best Original Screenplay, and Best Film Editing.
Didn't win anything, did it?
No.
I would have had the Weasleys from Harry Potter on there.
Sure. Those little dorks. I mean, Beth, Amy, Joe, and Meg, the March family, Little Women, the family, the sisters. I went with Hocus Pocus instead.
I also biased, but White Chicks, the movie. I would have had them on there.
The Wayans brothers are always funny. I mean, you could pick any numerous movies that they've been in together.
I had a tough time thinking of siblings for some reason.
No, this is kind of difficult.
I think I've read one Hardy Boys book in my entire life, but for some reason that came coming into my mind. All right. There you go. What You Got Wednesday. We'll get that up online. You can vote on who wins. And if you want to yell at us for making the wrong picks, go to our call-in feature on the KSL Sports app.
Surprisingly, not a common through line in movies. A lot of like dad, son, mother, daughter is more common, but like the sibling is actually a little bit difficult.
A lot of buddy.
Yeah, buddy, big time. But then you can be like people from opposite worlds coming together. There's conflict there. Hard to generate conflict with siblings unless it's like mom and dad are bad. We don't see that as much.
All right, stay tuned. Brian Taylor joins us from Augusta. Coming up next, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Jacob Mann, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Our 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Joining us now, he, of course, is a co-host for Real Golf Radio every single Saturday morning right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. He is Brian Taylor. What's up, BT?
Hey, how's it going, Jay? Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, buddy. Let's start things off with the most important part. What was on the menu for the Champions Dinner? What did Rom go with?
It was a Spanish flair something to do with like finely cured and thinly sliced meats and, you know, all kinds of stuff I don't quite know, but everybody seemed to be rave about it. So there you go. Yeah. I mean, it was a good dinner, right? I mean, what else can you say? It's like the toughest ticket in town.
I'm amazed at how quickly stories come and go in sports. Just look at Shohei Ohtani and gambling. But what's the latest with the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour and everyone's a happy family again? What's the feeling there at the Masters?
Yeah, so it's definitely muted from what it was a year ago, right? Last year, it was a big coming together. It was the first time a lot of these guys had gotten together since the split, and there was a lot of tension. There was a lot of, sort of wonder around how they were going to interact. You know, every time somebody walked by somebody from that had defected and vice versa, there were cameras, there was people wondering what kind of an exchange there might be. And it's really not that way this year. It just seems like both sides are not wanting to fight for it. You know what I mean? Like one way or the other. It's not even so much that the one side that lives still trying to legitimize itself. I think everybody's just happy that they're here and they just don't really want to fight about it. They don't know where it's going to all resolve itself or where it's going to blend together or come together or anything like that. So right now it's a lot up in the air and there's, you know, big guys with big money that are talking right now, trying to figure out what they're going to do and how it's all going to, I guess, how they're all going to play nice together in the same sandbox.
So Scheffler is the heavy favorite and I guess there's a chance he might bounce if his baby comes.
Yeah, that's always an interesting sidebar. You remember Phil Mickelson, that was a big story with Phil at Pinehurst back in 1999 when Payne Stewart won, and he carried around the beeper, how times have changed, right? He had a beeper on his belt, and if Amy had gone into labor, he was going to withdraw, and he was right there in contention, almost went down to the final hole. So, that's the thing. He said he's going to take off if it happens, but I think he's still got like 2 or 3 weeks before the baby's due, so it's less of a chance trying to think who else he was hanging out with or playing with. And they're also having a baby, but they're like a week away. So that one was a little more likely, but not as heavy favorite as Scheffler. I mean, Scheffler definitely is the guy. I mean, the betting favorite and the all-around favorite. I mean, having won here 2 years ago, coming in with two wins, including the Players, and a runner-up finish in his last start. So, yeah, I mean, it's Scheffler, world number one, definitely the guy to beat this week.
I'm not expecting Tiger to compete for the title, but how much of an edge does he have just from playing the course as long as he has and as familiar as he is with it? What type of an edge does that give a golfer in a tournament like this?
Yeah, here more than others, maybe, right? Because there is so much to learning this golf course and unlocking the code, if you will, of how to win here. Tiger with five green jackets, just one shy of course, Jack Nicklaus in his six. And, you know, he got it done in 2019. There wasn't a ton of expectations around Tiger at the time, and he was able to win. And sitting in his press conference a couple of days ago, you know, and Tiger was asked, or I guess that was just yesterday. Sorry, that was yesterday. You know, Tiger was asked, what is realistic? What do he think his chances are? And he said, look, if it all comes together, I can get another one of these things. And he got pressed on it a couple of times, and he said, I'm not ready to go there. I'm not ready to be a ceremonial golfer. I'm not here to, you know, he would not, you know, admit to not having the chance to win. In his mind, he still believes that he can. He obviously knows his way around this golf course. I think has the shots if his body will allow it. So that's a big if that he threw out there, a caveat that, you know, if all things come together, and there's just a lot that has to. He said he hurts every single day. When asked what lies around the golf course make it tougher for him or cause more pain, he said anything not on the tee box. So that gives you some indication how challenging and tough it's going to be for Tiger out there. I think there's probably as much of an interest to see if Tiger can make it through 36 holes. And if he does so and he makes the cut, he'll be 24 consecutive and he'll break the tie with Gary Player and Fred Couples with the most longest consecutive cuts made at Augusta. So that in and of itself would be a pretty good feat for Tiger, who has just a few rounds under his belt coming into this one.
How do you like Tony Finau's chances?
You know, I actually like Tony. We talked to him on the show Saturday and I really liked his tone. You know, he said, he basically said he's got business to take care of. He's coming here, he's got business to take care of. And, you know, Tony's had a great record here. Three top five finishes in the April Masters. You know, he didn't play so well in the one November Masters, but he's coming off of a runner-up finish. And he said in his interview that he felt like it was important to come off of a good finish and be in good form coming in this week. So, look, I mean, with a hurt ankle and all the other things that he's gone through here and still played well, this feels like a Tony Finau kind of golf course. And I think his finishes and his results show that out. He's a six-time winner now. There's really no reason. He's also playing in his seventh Masters, and the average number of starts before someone gets their first is six. So he's right in that wheelhouse, and he's got the top five finishes to go with it, which is something that usually a Masters champion has before they go on and win. So he checks all the boxes, and we'll see. We'll see if he's in form, see if that putter's working, and see if he can get it done.
Thank you, BT. You're the best.
Thanks, Brian.
Look forward to all your coverage this week.
You got it. Take care, boys.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Taylor, Real Golf Radio, every Saturday morning. And you should listen to those guys every week, but their episodes surrounding the majors are particularly good.
Not a bad time or a bad place to be covering golf.
No. All right, Ben. Well, you enjoy your day, buddy. No game tonight. Sun's out. That means Ben's guns are coming out.
Gonna get the tank top on.
Tank top weather for Ben.
Rip this sweatshirt off.
Sun's out. Pits out for Ben.
Put the hood down on the... on the convertible.
You have a convertible now?
I've got a Hummer. I've got a convertible. I've got all kinds of cars.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jake and
Thanks,
Ben.
Sarah.
97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.